Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
Thank you, Dr. Aiken. What an honor it is to be at Southeastern Seminary. I'm going to invite you to take God's Word and find the beloved Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and I want you to look with me at verse number 5. Psalm 23 and verse number 5. And I want to speak this morning on this subject, overwhelmed. And maybe that's how some of you feel right now. But we're going to see through this wonderful, beloved Psalm that we don't need to be overwhelmed by our problems. We need to be overwhelmed by our shepherd. Psalm 23 and verse 5. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, as we give honor and reverence to the reading of God's precious holy word. God says in His word, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." God, may we be overwhelmed by this wonderful psalm and by these words that we have read from Your Word. Bless this time, anoint our ears and our hearts. May our response be obedience, humility, repentance. May we be changed as we have heard the Word of God today. It's in the strong name of Jesus we make this prayer. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I sense that might be a feeling of some of you today, overwhelmed. It's just a few weeks left in your trimester, and finals and deadlines and papers. You might say that our world might be overwhelmed at the moment. Christians, conservative believers are overwhelmed by the political landscape. It seems like what we're hearing coming out of Washington and coming out of our political leaders is so disturbing and distressing. One said recently, "Nonsense is destroying America," and I think I could agree. Not only are we overwhelmed by the political landscape, but also the health care battle. Many churches are struggling about, can they continue to provide health care for their staff? Just recently, O.S. Hawkins, president of the Nudity Board, said if this health care reform takes place, it probably will put the Southern Baptist Convention out of the insurance business. Many are overwhelmed by their finances. Millions of jobs vanished within just months. Retirement accounts vanished within just days. Maybe today you feel overwhelmed that we're moving into the Christmas season and all sorts of demands are on us as we are in the ministry and serving the Lord. We want to make sure that we're honoring God, taking care of our families, and so many things that pull at us. We feel at times so overwhelmed. But I believe we're overlooking the obvious. I think we're being overwhelmed with the wrong things. I recall the time that the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and He was in the boat asleep, and that huge storm came up. And at that very moment, they became overwhelmed with what was going on outside the boat. And then all of a sudden, Jesus stood up. And if you recall in Mark chapter 4, verse 41, the Bible says they feared exceedingly and said, "Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey Him." They now were overwhelmed by the one that was in the boat with them. Jesus stood up, and we have a shepherd, Jehovah God, and He stands taller than any skyscraper problem you might have this morning. Whatever problem you might be facing, you have the presence of a shepherd. Now, we're not promised the absence of problems, but we are promised the presence of a faithful shepherd. There's a passage that I've been meditating on for about 2 weeks. It comes out of the Psalms as well. Psalm 16 verse 8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, my heart will be glad." What a word for us this morning as we always strive to set God before us. And then our heart will become glad. This needs to become the new normal for today's believer. That we become so overwhelmed, not with our problems, not with the political landscape, not with fear of losing health insurance. We should be overwhelmed of the faithful presence of our God. There might be a lot of uncertainty, but this is something we are certain of, that we have a faithful shepherd. Now, Psalm 23 is a beloved psalm. Particularly, this psalm is precious to me. I've been preaching it on Sunday mornings to the church family that I belong to. And we've been walking through it verse by verse, and we've talked about his identity. David began by saying, the Lord. That's that personal name for God, that he revealed himself to his people. Jehovah. Jehovah is our shepherd. That's his identity. He is for whatever you need in your life. And then we see in these other verses his ministry. Notice what David said. The Lord is. He is shepherding me. And we are sheep. Some 200 references in the Bible that shows us that God is our shepherd. And we are his sheep. And if you know anything about sheep, that is not something to laugh and feel real pleasant about. It's not a very flattering term. But that's who we are. As Isaiah said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All sheep need a shepherd. And we have a wonderful shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How he ministers to our hearts as sheep. He is, as in verse 2, our green pasture. He is the still water. He restores. He leads. He is the path of righteousness. He is with us in the valley. His rod and his staff, they guide us and protect us. He overwhelms us with his presence and his love. There was a famed preacher of many years ago named Vance Havner from this state. And he and his wife, Sarah, married later in life, never had children. And so at a time in his life, he lost his wife and grieved so greatly and was real sad. But the Spirit of God was giving him comfort and peace, just like, you know, the Holy Spirit ministers into our life. And someone said to the aged preacher, Vance Havner, are you overwhelmed with grief? And Havner said, I'm overwhelmed by him. And then he said, I'm shipwrecked on God and I'm stranded on omnipotence. That's a good place to be. We need to be overwhelmed with the presence of our shepherd in our life. Now, what I want to do now is look at verse 5, and we see the shepherd's identity and we see his ministry. But if you'll just focus with me on this wonderful, blessed verse, we're now going to see his sufficiency. And as you notice in this psalm, we learn that he prepares a table in enemy territory. He saturates our head with soothing oil. He overruns our life with his presence and his present blessings. And David's just saying, as I think about my shepherd, I'm overwhelmed. He overwhelms me. See these overwhelming truths in verse 5. Notice first of all about your shepherd and my shepherd today. My shepherd, your shepherd, he sustains your life. My shepherd sustains my life. Notice what David says, you prepare. It is God taking the initiative. He is preparing. He is sustaining us. He is giving us the sustenance that we need. He is preparing the table. Now, shepherds would do this for their sheep. They would begin in early spring searching out that perfect place for their sheep to graze. They would call that ideal grazing spot tableland. And so that shepherd would go to that beautiful field. And if it wasn't beautiful, he'd make it that way. And he'd prepare that tableland. He'd make several visits before the sheep ever arrived. He would be in their future, preparing that tableland, pouring out salt, pouring out minerals, pulling weeds. Many poisonous plants would be in abundance on some of these fields. He'd make sure all of the plants that were poisonous, that might harm the sheep, were taken away. He would clean maybe some of those dirty water holes and scoop out all of the algae and make it where when the sheep arrived, it would be a wonderful place for them to graze. Isn't it awesome to know that God's in our future? And God's already in your future and God knows what you're going to experience in the next few days, even the next 2010. I saw this book title in the airport, a devotional, Ruth Graham, the author, and the title of the book said, Fear Not Tomorrow, God is already there. Now, someone in this building needed that today. Fear not tomorrow. Why? Because your God, your shepherd, He is already there. Now, we see that God prepares the table for us, just like the shepherd would prepare the table for the sheep. Now, I like that because I'm not a cook. That's not my spiritual gift. I don't want to learn how to cook. I'll burn water if you put me in the kitchen. I've offered many burnt offerings to the Lord in the kitchen, so I've given up on cooking. And actually, I worry about men that like to cook. I'm just kidding. But I don't watch the Food Channel. My sweet wife Becky's here with me, and she does all the preparing. I don't worry about what type margarine to buy and what type seasonings to get and how lean the meat might be. She takes the initiative. She takes the responsibility. She does all the worrying. My response is just to come to the table grateful and thankful and to enjoy what's been provided. Now, you know, a lot of believers today are missing this. They don't understand that God, He is the provider. He prepares the table. And we're not to worry because we're not the preparer. He takes the initiative. He works out the details. There is a God and we're not Him. And so God goes before us. He is the source of all our sustenance. He is the starting point of everything that we have. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, seek God first. Why? Because it all starts with God. Everything you have, everything you ever will receive, has come from the benevolent hand of a faithful God who is our shepherd. The psalmist said in Psalm 104, O Lord my God, You are very great. You who laid the foundations of the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and the vegetation for the service of man, that He may bring forth food from the earth and bread that strengthens man's heart. The young lions roar after they prey and seek their food from God. O Lord, how great are Your works. Did you hear that? Even the animals know that their food comes from God. So that means that the next time you sit down for a meal, you ought to bow your head and give thanks each time you eat, because it is God who put that food on the table. God supplies it. God gives it to us. I don't understand people, and I know you're not this way, but those that won't give thanks to God before they eat. Have you ever noticed? But they'll thank the pizza man, the Domino's man, for delivering the pizza. He didn't make the pizza, did he? He's just delivering it. He's not the source. But we'll thank the waiter who fills our glass. We'll thank the pizza guy for bringing us our pizza. The source is God. And so we must always give God glory and thank Him for being our source. The writer said in Psalm 119, seven times a day I'll praise You. Seven times a day I'll thank You. God provides. Some might say, oh no, Kroger provides or Publix provides. Well, back of the bread is the flour, and back of the flour the meal, and back of the meal is the wheat and the shower and the sun and God's will. And if it would not have been for God, and if God was not in the picture, we wouldn't eat. God is our source. Now, I was reminded about this a few days ago. I'm not sure if you're an Eggo waffle fan, but I got a 3-year-old boy. That's all he will eat. You know, recently, they had to shut down those factories. And I've been going to every Kroger in Atlanta, Georgia, Publix, Super Walmart, trying to find the exact Eggo waffle my son wants. Hardly any of them had it. And God just reminded me, Eggo waffle's not our source. It's God's our source. You know what God did in my little boy's heart? Changed his mind. He doesn't like waffles now. He likes peanut butter sandwiches. Amen? And so God has the ability to meet your need because He is your source. But let's get honest. Much of the time, we treat the intermediators like they are the source. And we turn them into God. We often forget the source, and when we do, you know what we're doing? Let's tell the truth. We're elevating the creature over the Creator. We'll put our faith in somebody that has money or someone that has wisdom and we'll forget that God is our source. And that's why we get so overwhelmed in the wrong way, because we are bowing at the wrong throne. Now, when God is your source and you know that He prepares your table, then there's no intimidation. There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to wring your hands about. There's nothing to get you anxious, because you know that God is your source. And no matter how bad the times get, you have a faithful shepherd. The Bible reminds us in Psalm 78:19, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches by Christ Jesus. And David, who authored this psalm, said over in Psalm 37, verse 25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Notice that God prepares the table, but see something else. Look at verse 5. He says, you prepare a table before me, catch this, in the presence of my enemies. Now that shepherd would go before the sheep, and if there were wolves there or coyotes, cougars, bears, whatever, he would use that rod, that club, to battle them and to get them out of that tableland. Also, there was this little brown snake, this little horned viper, and it would come out of the ground on some of these fields that these sheep were grazing, and it would nip the nose of the sheep and could cause death. And so what this shepherd would do is he would take that oil and he would saturate it. He'd smear it around that hole so the snake couldn't come up. So the sheep could just enjoy the table that the shepherd prepared, never in fear of their enemies. Now, I'm telling you today, I think this has awesome relevance for this recession, this depression, all these difficult times that we're in. How God prepares our needs, even in the presence of our enemies. Now, what is an enemy? An enemy is anything that threatens your substance or security. Anything that tries to get in the way of a need being met. It might be a stock market slip. It might be a pink slip or any type of slip. But we know and we have confidence. Be overwhelmed by this. That whatever your need might be, God will meet it even in the presence of your enemies. Do not think that times have to be good for God to do great things. God is not subject to the situational environment. He can bless in bad days. He can give a downpour in down times. He loves to manifest His glory in difficult times. I think about that great prophet Elijah. During the drought, God had a brook to quench his thirst. God sent ravens to drop Chick-fil-A sandwiches down to him. And even as he went to the widow's home in an area that was famine and there was no food and said, give me to eat. And she obeyed the man of God. And the Bible said that she never lacked any oil. She never lacked any flour. Remember this. Times might be bad, but God is always good. And God knows how to set good tables. God can take little and make much. So what's our response? Don't you be overwhelmed by the situation around you. Be overwhelmed by the shepherd who will prepare your table. And by the way, that's why we need to honor God in our giving. That's why we need to give a minimum of a tithe. The tithe's just the floor, not the ceiling. And we need to trust God in uncertain days. Why? Because when you put God first, He'll watch your back. Amen? The prophet Malachi said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And so what does David tell us to be overwhelmed by? My shepherd sustains my life. But there's another truth. Look at this truth. My shepherd touches my life. My shepherd touches my life. Now look what he says here. He said, you anoint my head with oil. Now, life can get overwhelming, and it's true. It can happen. And we have a shepherd who can touch our life and heal us and minister us when times are difficult. Let me explain a little bit about this anointing of the oil. In the Middle Eastern home, when you would come in to visit, the host would always anoint your head at the door with oil. And the oil smelt nice. And the oil refreshed you. It's like going on one of those long international trips to the mission field. Aren't you glad they give out those hot towels? Boy, I love those. I think they give out two or three in first class. But back there with the barnyard animals where we generally sit, they just give you one. But isn't it wonderful when you take that hot rag, that hot towelette, and you put it on your face and it refreshes you. That's the picture of what our shepherd does. And that's what the shepherd would do for a sheep. I want you to catch a few things in this phrase. Notice it said, you anoint, look at this, my head. Notice it's in the singular. He anoints my head. It is speaking of the intimate care the shepherd would give each sheep. Remember the 99, and he went out and found the one that was lacking. And many believe this scene would describe something like this, that when those sheep would come in for the night, as they would come into the fold, the shepherd would touch every single one of their heads. He would inspect their head. He would touch their head. He would stroke their head. Maybe even have pet names for them. When he would anoint them with oil, he was saying, you are special. But notice the response of the sheep. They would have a posture of humility as they would drop their hands in the tender shepherd's hands, their head rather, so that he could touch them and heal them. Now we all know that oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. The precious ministry of the Holy Spirit. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to show that we are special. Jesus said in John 14:16, He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Now that shepherd would anoint the head and the bodies of that sheep, the sheep, with oil for particular reasons. And let me show you the reasons and then I'll connect them how our faithful shepherd anoints our head with oil on a regular basis. First of all, he would anoint those sheep's head because of life annoyances, little things that would annoy the sheep. And one in particular were these flies. Now, they would be out there grazing on that tableland in summertime, and these flies would just come and aggravate them. They were nose flies, and they were called that because they would fly up the sheep's nose. And as they go up the sheep's nose, they would lay eggs and larvae up into the wet membranes of the nostrils of the sheep, and it would make the sheep go crazy. They would start bleeding. They'd start shaking their head. It would make them like run into trees. Now, they didn't have a tail that they could swish their nose, and they couldn't bring up their legs and get rid of the flies. So it's like driving them insane. And it's just making them where they would lose their appetite. And they could die. Some sheep would even commit suicide because these flies were just so annoying. And so the shepherd would take a mixture of oil and sulfur, and he would apply it on and inside the nose of the sheep. You say sulfur. Sulfur smells like rotten eggs, and so I guess that's what made the flies bug off. You know, and so this ointment would be used as a repellent. But also it would be used to kill the larva, and it would also bring a healing touch to the sheep. And when the shepherd would take that oil and apply it to those sheep, they would become serene and calm. Now think about some things that bug you today. Think about some things that might annoy you and how God gives us the precious Holy Spirit that just calms us and just fills us. You know, yesterday my wife and I left Atlanta to come up here, and we had the great joy of spending 10 hours in the Atlanta airport. Ben and Jerry's, Starbucks, Popeye's Chicken, Mandarin Chinese, we tried it all. And we watched a lot of people lose their salvation. But I'm telling you, it was so strange that while we were there, and I'm telling you, God is my witness, it's like the Lord just anointed us with oil, and we were just chilling out. Now, when our plane finally landed at 11 o'clock, I was almost about to have a meltdown. But all day long, it was just that special touch of the Spirit of God. I was looking at our flight. They kept moving it back, There was a man beside me, I guess on the same flight. He kept using the name of God in vain. I thought to myself, oh, how he needs Christ. And all difference when you're one of God's sheep. What needed to happen is God needed to get his goat and make him a sheep. And here he's like all upset. But when you're a believer, you know that you're in God's hands. What annoys you? Is it a high-maintenance church member that you have? We all have them in our churches. Maybe is it somebody that just is causing you difficulties, annoyances? Maybe it's car problems. Maybe you don't know how you're going to pay your school bill. Just little things can bug us. But you know what's awesome about our God? There's no little things to Him. It's all significant. I'm a daddy. And whatever's on my daughter's heart or what's bothering my son's heart is concerning me. You know why? Because I love them. And so He would anoint their head for life's anointances. But there's something else. He would anoint their heads for life's attitudes. Because during mating season, man, things got wild. I'm talking about like the Jerry Springer program. You know what I'm saying? I mean, during mating season, the rams would become rambunctious. They would strut around the pasture and flex their necks, trying to win the attention of the new gal on the block. And when a ram catches her eye, he tosses his head back and said, "I want you, baby." About that time, her boyfriend shows up and tells her to go somewhere. Get out of here because things are going to get bad. And then the headbutting would begin. And they would bloody their head. And so the shepherd would anoint their heads with oil so that then when they would have these clashes, they'd just slide off one another and look stupid. Now think about what God does to us in our churches and in our schoolrooms and seminary classrooms when you got these people that want to be top sheep or you got conflicts or friction. Aren't you thankful for the precious Holy Spirit that just fills our life? And what does it produce? That fruit, like love and joy and peace and kindness and long-suffering. And so God knows exactly what to give us when we have attitude problems. But also for life's afflictions. These sheep sometimes would be maybe trying to find that best berry to eat. And they would get cut up on thorns. Or even I was learning about this skin disease that sheep could get called the scab. And it was this horrible skin disease that could just really harm the skin of the sheep. And it was even contagious. It was kind of like their H1N1, you know what I mean? And they would rub their heads on one another and it would spread throughout the flock. And so the shepherd would soothe their irritated skin and actually bring healing to their infected places by putting the oil on them. And how the Holy Spirit sure can heal a broken heart. How the Holy Spirit can heal a broken hope. I think about the passage in 2 Corinthians. Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and He's given us His Spirit. Psalm 104 verse 15, the oil will make your face shine. Psalm 45, the Bible speaks about the oil of gladness. Aren't you overwhelmed how good God is? I mean, He meets our needs. He provides. He sustains for our life. And then He touches us with His precious Spirit. But then we see a third truth real quickly. Like, not only do we see this, we see this last phrase David said, "My cup runs over." My shepherd not only sustains and touches, but listen, my shepherd overflows my life. David said, "My cup runs over." Now the picture of a full cup and overflowing is a picture of what Jesus is to us. How He satisfies us. Like the woman at the well that brought her water pot. And after she met Jesus, she left her water pot. Did someone say, "Hey lady, you left your water pot"? Why did she need the water pot when she walked away with the well? She walked away with Jesus. Now her cup was overflowing. The shepherd, when the sheep were thirsty, he would take his shepherd's cup and dip it in a stream and it would be filling to the brim, and he would hand water all of those thirsty sheep. In Middle Eastern hospitality, when you would go to someone's home to visit, you know you're welcome when they keep filling your cup. But if they stop filling your cup, they're saying it's time for you to hit the road, Jack. Don't come back. But if they kept filling that cup and filling that cup and filling that cup, what they were saying is, "Why don't you stay the night? Why don't you just hang out with us?" And that's the picture of our Father. He wants continual fellowship with us. He wants to overwhelm us with His presence. Have you ever noticed something about our great God? God loves to run it over. God loves to supersize it. God loves to give it the biggie, 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 biggie size. How about the prodigal son? When he came back, just didn't get a calf. He got a fatted calf. How about the robe? It just wasn't a robe, but the Bible says it was the best robe. When Jesus fed that large multitude, how many baskets of food was left over? 12. When the water was turned to wine, 120 gallons, enough for 10 weddings. God loves to run it over. God loves to overwhelm us. He just doesn't forgive. Isaiah 55:7 says He will abundantly pardon. Not a little grace. Romans 5:20 says abounding grace. Not just joy. Peter says unspeakable joy and full of glory. Not just love, but Jeremiah said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Romans 15:13, abounding in hope. Paul said, His peace surpasses all understanding. Jeremiah said, His mercies are new every morning. The songwriter said, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He gives and gives and gives again. Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Paul said to the church at Corinth, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Hallelujah! Now what does the pessimist say? Half empty. What does the optimist say? Half full. What does the Spirit-filled child of God say? My cup overflows. And this is how we're to live our lives. We're to sing. We're to lead. We're to preach. We're to serve. We're to minister out of the overflow. But I'm afraid that's not happening with so many believers today. Instead, we look at our capacity. May I remind you, God has no capacity. God is limitless in His resources. He doesn't want us living off the principle. He wants us living off the interest. He'll never run out. Whatever you need right now, you'll never run out with your faithful God who prepares the table, anoints your head with oil, and overflows your cup. His strength, it's an abundant. His resources, they are an abundant. Faith, abundant. Energy, abundant. Wisdom, abundant. Well, you say, that's not happening with me. Well, this is going to sting a little bit, but this is why. Because of sin. Because the only thing that will stop the downpour and turn it into a drip is a life of self-reliance, or a life of pride and arrogance, or a life of rebellion. And the response must be repentance. And when we repent, when we believers repent, that's when God turns the faucet back on. And out of the overflow, you'll take that exam. Out of the overflow, you'll preach this Sunday. Out of the overflow, you'll get on that plane and take that mission trip. Don't you see that everything you need, God already has? Don't be overwhelmed by your problems today. You're so sad. A lot of Christians today, they get overwhelmed by silly cultural fads. And no longer are they overwhelmed by our awesome, great God. John was so overwhelmed by the Lord in Revelation 1:17. And when I saw Him, I fell on my face as a dead man. Thomas was overwhelmed when he saw the resurrected Lord. He said, my Lord and my God. Isaiah was overwhelmed with God. He said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. We need to be overwhelmed just like David the psalmist. So overwhelmed that we're like David when he said, you know, it is the Lord who is my shepherd. And He's all I want. And He's all I need. And my cup runs over. And may I live a life overwhelmed. This world is underwhelmed about us and our message and Jesus and the gospel. And you know why they are? Maybe because we're a little underwhelmed ourselves. But when we have a fresh encounter and we're anointed with the oil of God, we'll be overwhelmed again. And God will put that precious Spirit, fill us overflowing again, so we'll have that joy and that confidence, and He'll use us in a powerful way to bring great glory and honor to His name. Church, let's be overwhelmed. Dear Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for these words that You inspired David to pen, how You are great at preparing good tables. even in the time of negativity, and even our enemies abound. Lord, thank you for anointing us and touching us with that oil and the healing it brings. And thank you, God, not for a half-empty cup, but we are overflowing, overwhelmed with your presence. How precious you are. In the strong name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, we hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.